Thrilling Mishley. Been a while.
Been a
But
while.
we remember everything, right? And you know, all the philosophy and all the and everything that's got into it. And we're basically looking at Perek Hetzion, 16th Perek, which has its own little pieces, no really overarching theme. But now we have a couple of psukim that kind of do really tie together. Chaf through Chaf Dalet. And we'll look over here on the Ala Torah. Maskil al davar yimseh tov. Someone who is a maskil, wise on things, about things, will find good. Boteach b'Hashem ashrav, and someone who has faith in God will be happy. Ashrei. L'chacham lev yikra navon. Someone who is a chacham lev, someone who is wise of heart, will be called intelligent, understanding. Umetek svatayim, and someone who has matok, sweet metek svatayim, someone who has sweet lips, Yosif Lekach will learn more things. Lekach tov natati lachem. Makor secha ba'alav, and we have this word sechel again. Usually translates common sense, but you want to call sechel. The sechel of a person is the source of life, umasar evilim, but the musar, the discipline of a fool, evelet is all foolishness. Lev Chacham, here's our wise heart again, Yaskil, and this is Sechel again. Pihu, the wise of heart will speak, will have their mouths act with Sechel, Baal Svatav, Yusif Lekach, and again, his lips will increase learning, Lekach, just like the Metek Svatayim, the sweetness. Get between, we're going back and forth between sweetness and Sechel. Tzuf Devash, Imre Noam, that pleasant words are like the drippings of the honeycomb. Matokla nefesh, umarape leetzem. They're sweet to a person, sweet to the soul, and they make the body strong. That's what we're going to look at. And the seichel here, they did everything that this is all about. Maskil davar, you have to have seichel in order to yimsa tov, in order to find good. Seichel has specific meaning, and we got a lot of words for wisdom, chacham and nafon and deah. And the Sechel. Mamavim says, a Sechel who a koach sheesh la'adam, ha-maskil, that Sechel is the power that a person has. L'chadur b'chol davar, to, chadur ready to encapsulate, categorize, put into a cheder, v'ya pitomid, to encapsulate something, to get something with a sudden knowledge. V'shpot al advarim shem nimalim mikoach ha-chma, and make decisions that are about things that are hidden from actual intelligence that you can't figure out, be not, that can't be understood, can't be analyzed. That's what we call intuition. That's what seichel is. That sudden burst of knowledge that you just know it in your head without necessarily having thought it through. But gamma lachush bahem, and also there's another meaning of the word seichel, which is similar of things that we don't know through our senses. Against our intuition, Mu'yidat Hashem, religious knowledge, knowing that God exists. Ruchanim, Kadameh, things that are beyond nature. That we have, there is knowledge that we have that without having reasoned or observed them. Now I didn't get into Kant over here and critique of pure reason. We all remember our Kant, right? Between phenomena and noumena. So he talked about phenomena are things that we observe, that we know through senses, and the noumena means things that are actually true. And
I
those
have
aren't necessarily.
not heard that
Noumena, yeah. Noumena.
before.
We know
Nomina.
that from the Muppet song, phenomena, do, 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 phenomena, do, 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 do. Yeah, that was. But the idea that there are things that we know are true without necessarily saying how we figured them out. That's what we call intuition. There are lots of things like that. Okay. And this idea comes up elsewhere in Tanakh. Yeshaya describes the future Mashiach, this eventual savior. He's talking about the end of days as Hericho b'Yirat Hashem, someone who has the Reach through the fear of God. Gemara reads as not as Ruach, as spirit, but Reach in the sense of smell. It says, Yeshaya, v'nachal av ruach Hashem. And this future Savior, in the end of days, The spirit of God will rest upon him. Ruach Chachma Vina, spirit of wisdom and understanding. Ruach Etzah Gvura, spirit of advice and power. Ruach Dat Riyat Hashem, the spirit of knowledge and fear of God. V'Heirechu B'Yirat Hashem, and he will have this ruach through his fear of God. And in Gemara and Sanhedrin, Rabbi Amar, demorech vada'in. He'll be able to smell the truth. Did not say through the chachma bina, but just smell it and know it's true. Lo, and such a person, such that this person will not judge by what he observes. Lo mashma, he will not judge by what he hears, but he'll have that intuition of what's right and what's wrong. So this is an article about intuition. I don't know who Jessica Willis is. But intuition is adjacent to a concept found in the Talmud, where characteristics of the great leaders and judges are centered in making decisions not in base on sight, but what it hears, rather by smell. That reah, connected to intuitive divine discernment. And metaphorically, you can smell the truth. We call that the smell test. Things just aren't right. That's the definition. We call it, looking at just things that don't smell right, the informal method for determining whether something's authentic, credible or ethical by using one's common sense or sense of propriety. And again, this idea of intuition, of sechel. Intuition makes leaps about the mind's conscious participation. Philosophically and psychologically, intuition exists outside of thinking and analysis. And spiritually, it's something that connects with our cognition and can connect our cognition with something bigger and more profound than we can create on our own. Intuition is a skill set that everyone has, but few choose to develop. Perhaps that's because we don't understand its purpose and usefulness. Maybe connecting with wisdom beyond oneself is scary at first. Question: where does your seichel come from then? Where does your intuition come from? Things that you just see and say, okay, this feels wrong, this feels right. And Malwood makes a distinction between seichel in general, this intuition we just called, the ability to make decisions without thinking about them, what Mishle calls seichel tov. It says, seichel tov in Mishle is a gift from Hashem. And again, this is the Malbim. That even if you don't understand what's right, the rules of ethics, because you've analyzed, you figured it out, yes, you can still have some intuition of what's right and wrong. This is a unique power that a human being has to understand truths that are otherwise inaccessible. To get a sense of what's right in terms of ethics, and spiritual matters that are far beyond human analysis. Yesh gam sechel tov, and there's also, so you can do that. There's also the idea of sechel tov, ruach hakodesh sheyachol chacham alev, and that's the idea that Hashem may give you that power. So you have an intuition of what's right and wrong, and you also have this sense that Hashem gives you some sense of sechel. So there are two kinds of sechel. Sheyachol lamala, as it says, torat hachacham mekor chayim, knows the source of life, sechel tov yitein chen. That sechel tov gives grace. Hashem is as a gift of God. That this sechel tov, this divine intuition, little hint of ruach hakodesh we may have, is the source of life. Yitein chen v'chanina mit Hashem. This is a gift for grace of God. Baskil neskavot, to understand this. So this is something different. But our intuition in general is formed by our experience, the things we've seen before, to the point that we're not consciously thinking about them at all. Our unconscious mind creates.
The one phrase you keep repeating over and over is Makor Chayim,
We do see
which,
that.
by the way, is the name of the shul that I think Andy went to, wasn't it? It wasn't Makor Chayim.
No, he went to Nitzanim.
Oh, Nitzanim, but
Yeah,
I think it's in the neighborhood Makor Chayim.
it's in that neighborhood, correct?
Okay, I don't know. That is that. So we
And
use
there's
the
a
term
school
Makor
called
Chaim, right? The
Makor Chayim.
Sechel Tov, Makor Chaim is Sechel Ba'Allah. Right? That's the source of life, of keeping ourselves alive is this sechel, is this intuition. But the where that intuition comes from, if it's not a gift of Hashem, it's the things that we've observed, the life we've led. We automatically make models of reality, and we access them without thinking about them. There's an article about intuition from the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy. Recent research on intuitions in naturalistic decision making, or consider recent research. Such research shown that agents with sufficient experience in given domain, such as neonatal nursing, firefighting, or chess, arrive at judgments and make decisions on the basis of a cognitive process other than the conscious considerations of various options and the weighing of evidence and utility, right? You're fighting fires, neonatal, right? You got a medical code in front of you. You're not stopping and thinking about it. You're doing what comes automatically. And it also relies on that kind of the smell test of this is wrong. This child is sick. Can't put my finger on why I'm saying that, but we need to look at this more, not to say, oh, it's a virus, you'll get better in 2 days. It happens all the time. And such expert intuitions that some infants suffer from sepsis, that a fire will take a certain course, there are certain chess moves, a good one, appear immediately in consciousness. They come from experience. You know, we call this here sufficient experience. So therefore, and Mishle makes this point all the time, if you want to have good intuitions, you need to have good experiences. You need to make sure that what you are experiencing leads to good decisions. And say for Mishle, we're not looking at, you know, medicine or chess playing, we're looking at moral intuition. So you have to hang out with a good crowd. So what he says here is that while the Makor Chaim Sechel Ba'alav, right, that the source of your life is your intuition. That's based on everything that you've done in life, and it determines what you're going to do in the future. Musar Avilim Evelot. The Musar, the discipline, the moral lessons you learn from the fool, those are foolishness. You can end up with your Musar going exactly the wrong way. Say here, the behavior you observe creates that intuition about what's good and what's right. What you're seeing other people do, that automatically comes right in your mind. That forms your moral intuition. Mishle says that in the first parak. If my son, again, the metaphor of the first book, father talking to his son, if the sinners try to entice you, don't go with them. Go even walk with them. Turn your feet from their path. Because their feet run toward evil. They hurry to spill blood. And this is the path of anyone who's only interested in profit, and Nefesh Ba'alav Yikach will eventually take their they will eventually lose their own lives. Don't even hang out with a bad crowd. It's bad. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says about this. And that's why we say the Musar, the moral lessons you're getting from those fools, and they're going to rebuke their friend and say, this is morally wrong. Everybody feels they're right, no matter how evil they are. And the Avilim, these fools are trying to teach others the right way to go. They're teaching ways of doing evil. You go, oh, being too proud, do whatever you want, to oppress others. And they're going to steal off the source of the other source of their seichel, that little bit of Ruach Kodesh, that Torah that we learned in the womb, seichel TV, their natural seichel. And they'll teach their own intuition, will say, no, things that are actually wrong are absolutely right. Be careful for you about your intuition. Depends what's formed it. Rasha'im will also try to justify their musar, their own morality. As it says in Malachi, who is rebuking those who have abandoned the Torah, Atan Nachnu Marashim Zedim. Nowadays, Malachi says, this is the second bit of Mikdash, we praise those who are intentionally sinning, gam nivnu oseira, rasha, and we build up those who do evil, gam bachanu elokim. They tested God and they escaped. Vayikra musar al da'at ha'evilim. As called, this is called musar, like as Yirmiyah calls it, musar ha'evilim. It's a musar of vanity of nothing. It's like a
Hello.
it's hevel. So be careful about your intuition.
Which I think I told you, Dan, a hevel is like a breath.
Right.
It's not lasting.
So this right, Yirmiyahu talking about this. It's Musa that's based on Havel, on Havel.
Yeah.
Like it's inanimate, it has no feeling. So that's the distinction between Seichel and Bina, right? Intuition and analysis, thinking. We've talked about it before. Jonathan Haidt talks about moral judgment as opposed to moral reasoning. That most of our moral judgments are made immediately. We see that and think this is right, and then we kind of think about how we can justify it. Or Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow. You read that book?
I've heard about it. I tried reading it. It was a little above my pay grade, but he is very brilliant, I
You know,
know. Didn't he win some special award?
he won the Nobel Prize for Economics. Think about that. You know, how human beings make decisions. There are two ways of doing this, thinking fast and thinking slow, the intuition. And then, you know, in Tanakh, it's the lev and kliot, the heart and literally the kidneys, but we translate as hearts and minds.
That's in mind.
So here we, so in our part here, this seichel belongs to the chacham lev, someone whose lev is chacham, has wisdom. So the chacham lev, someone whose heart, you know, this whose intuition is his chachma, they will be, now, nikra chacham will be called understanding. We're going to connect the mind and heart there. That's the chachma that connects them. And chacham lev specifically has a meaning, and that's this week's parsha. Okay, chacham, this is a quote actually from Kitisa from last week's parsha, but it continues on. Building the Mishkan, Hashem calls you the chacham lev. More. Look, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur. And I filled him with the spirit of God. That's a ruach again, and all these three aspects of intelligence, to make plans. And he was able to work with gold and silver and copper. Lumalot and working with gemstones, and carving wood, Bezalel can do everything. And I have given him as an assistant Eliyav, v'lev kol chacham lev natati chachma, in the heart of everyone who is a chacham lev. I've given them this wisdom, and they will build this Mishkan, all this art. And this is Aaron Trevor, this is from 1840s website, David Beshevkin's website. Yeah, Chacham Lev is an artisan. Someone who can use art, right? And here the way he puts it, only Bezalel and his assistant Eliyahu are mentioned by name. They and all of the anonymous craftsmen that helped construct the mission are described the unique phrase, Chacham Lev. From my understanding, this is the only appearance of this description in the entire Torah. Loosely translated as those who are skilled or craftsmen or artisans, depending on your pick of translation. But the Chacham Lev specifically has this understanding who can tie together the Bina and the Seichel. And Shlomo tells us that the Maskil Devar Yimtzeh Tov, Tzeach B'Hashem Ashrav. And so we start with this Maskil Devar. Someone has intuition, and it will Yimtzeh Tov. It will find good. Boteach, read that as conditional, if you have faith in Hashem. And more than that, not to them, Boteach Hashem Ashrav, it brings joy. So that's what the artisan does. Art's there to bring joy. Which is once you have that joy, you're actually enjoying what you're experiencing, then you can form an intuition. Then you'll experience that, and that will form your intuitions. We need the art in order to learn anything. So if Botech Bashem Ashrav, if your joy comes from having trust in God, then your intuition will serve you well. Yim Tse Tov. And that's the other theme of this section. This section is about the metek, about the sweetness. Right? It says it over and over again. Metek Svatam Yosif Lekef. Someone who has sweetness on the lips will increase their learning. Or Tzuf Devash Imrenom. It's like the drippings of the honeycomb are words of pleasantness. Matok LeNefesh, sweet to the soul. And that's the way it has that learning that the learning the Musar has to be sweet. You have to enjoy. You have to want to participate in it in order to become automatic intuitive, and automatic and intuitive. We
So
see
it
that.
sounds like you need inspiration to give inspiration.
Well, you have to say, is art inspired, or can you just plan it out?
But here he's saying that God basically gave these people gifts of
Oh, that's okay.
kind of
So
knowledge.
in the Mishkan, that's explicit, right? That
That's what I
Hashem,
mean. But they're saying
right?
that
That
people are
Hashem
actually.
inspired that. So he says, "Belev kol chacham lev nasati chachma." You have to start with the chacham lev, and then Hashem will give you that additional inspiration.
And then
Here it
in
starts. It
turn,
starts from the
he gave
person,
inspiration to the rest of Klal Yisrael.
right? And that's the power of art. That's the power of the chacham lev, the artisan. And we talk about the power of Torah being sweet. Torah Hashem Tmimah Meshivat Nefesh. Right, this is Perek Yud-Tet. We say that every Shabbos. Hanechmadim mipaz zav, more desire than gold. Umetukim midvash umenofet tzufim. Sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. So again, the
So
Chacham
that sounds
Lev.
competitive, but it really isn't. Because Devash's was the date honey. And then Nopet's
That's
name
true.
is the bee honey.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to push it that hard whether you want to make a big distinction there, but yeah, so these are things that are sweet. We all know that. Here,
Very
he
sweet.
uses the term da, 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 right? It's tzuf devash, drippings of honey. I don't know, is that it goes either way. It's either for the bee honey or the date honey, which I did get for Pesach. You get the big jar of the Ceylan from on Amazon.
Good.
Okay, but that's where we get our that's where we need our Chacham Lev in order to trans in order to teach that kind of intuition. We need to have someone to create the experiences that creates our intuition. Because intuition is formed by experience, but our brain doesn't know anything about fiction or art. What we see determines our intuition, and that includes seeing it on the screen, includes reading it. So artists create the experiences that form our intuition. And this is what, again, this is from the Beshevkin's website again. To better understand this particular descriptor, let's explore a troubling and ongoing part of Jewish history, the unending conspiracy theory that Jews run Hollywood. Which I think it's, I mean, that's true that most of the big people in Hollywood are Jewish, but that is a dangerous thing. While the conspiracy theory continues to persist, with several noteworthy examples coming out in just the last few years, there's something to learn from why anti-Semites fear the motion picture in fear that the motion picture industry is controlled by Jews. After all, if all they wanted was make their own movies without Jewish influence, why not just do it somewhere else? No one has to work in Hollywood to make a movie. And the fear animates from something more. The anti-Semite isn't just jealous that Jew may be famous or rich or get to walk the glitzy red carpets at Hollywood awards shows, but the envy of material and social wealth. The recognition of the power of the arts, and particular kind of fear that the Jewish perspective on life will be captured by it and disseminated throughout. That's the
I
power
don't
of.
know if this is good or bad. What's happening to him?
I'm sorry?
I'm not sure if this is good or bad. What is he saying about Hollywood?
Well, it's taking the power of Hollywood, because that really imposes its perspective, right? Now, whether that reflects what we think a Jewish perspective should be? No, probably not. We could do better. But it says the power of here, the movies and all that. So movies are powerful because our minds determine what's normal by what we observe, right? We're social primates. Whatever the other primates in our troop are doing, that's right. That's the moral thing to do. And that's okay. That's where our smell test comes from. But again, we don't know about fiction. So seeing is believing. Seichel is formed by what we see. So that brings us back to Bezalel Chacham Lev. Let's continue in Trimer's article. This adjective used to describe the crafts of Mishkan because it recognizes the distinct power of what or art can do. That's a Chacham Lev. Someone who's wise enough to manipulate the lev, the heart, not the mind. Creation of art is not as simple as following an instruction manual. If that were the case, anybody could put together the Ark or the Kruvim or the Menorah or any other piece of Mishkan. Knowing that Bezalel has wisdom of the heart, the Torah is knowing that art requires a particular perspective to channel the divine. Art is the power to move both hearts and minds for something greater. Only was created through artist's heart and mind as well. So the Mishkan had made the Kedusha approachable and part of our lives. While Bezalel certainly followed what God instructed, there was something extra that only he and his fellow artists could add. To turn a clamp, a plank, or a table, or a candelabra from something utilitarian into something that strikes hearts and minds with feelings of some eternal truth. So maybe it's a compliment that some fear Jewish participation in the arts. It's a testament to what a Jew can do with a pen, a paintbrush, a musical instrument, or a camera. We let the wisdom of our hearts move us to create, our art can inspire the whole world closer to the divine. And that's the Chacham Lev and the Matok Svatayim. And this is going to be the theme of the Chumash Shir as well. So you can come to that on Shabbos morning. Or you can, we'll do it tonight if Phyllis comes at 10 o'clock tonight. I'm talking about the Mishkan and the artisan and the prophet. And so I think I want to go. I think right now I want to stop here and continue on. Because we're going to go into this matok and the sweetness of Torah, but it's going to get us into C.S. Lewis, where I think we're going to take us a little more time to develop this. So I'm going to stop here and we'll continue on next week.
Thanks, Danny. It was awesome.
Okay.
Welcome back, Ruthie. And also, welcome back,
Danny.